Good morning, church family. It is so lovely to be with you. It's actually been about 2 years since we were last here with you, and I'm just loving to be in my parents' home church. I can really feel that sort of at home feeling. So our kids, Ben and Beth, are going to be joining us and sharing today. And we would like to tell you what we've been doing as a missionary family. So to recap, we were sent out as missionaries about 17 years ago. And for 10 years, we were pioneering 10 Y-Man bases across Malawi. So that's the nation where Beth, my daughter, was born. 3 years ago, we were asked to become elders for YWAM in South Central Africa. So that's about 35 YWAM bases across Zambia, Zimbabwe, Malawi, Mozambique, and Angola. In this present season, we're helping to launch a clinic, two clinics, a teacher's training college, and a few missionary training centres. The area that we absolutely love to focus on as elders is getting behind amazing African missionaries who have got clear God-given vision, and we love to stand with them and serve them so that they can get started. So in the last 2 years since we last saw you, we've been on the road on two missionary journeys. And one of our missionary journeys, we had the joy of leading the first discipleship school that's launching a new discipleship location in Zambia that we believe will become a youth discipling movement. So here is a video about the Adventure DTS that we ran.
The new Adventure Zambia DTS is for those who want to embark on an adventure of faith in the wilds of Zambia. Adventure is at the heart of our relationship with God, and Adventure Zambia will challenge you to new depths of intimacy and relationship with Him. Located in the beautiful Makushi Bush, Safari Style Center is a wonderful setting to explore and discover more of God. This DTS will provide opportunities to uncover who you are in Christ, to surrender, and to serve the local community. Jesus often used adventure and outdoor experiences in his ministry to reach, teach, and grow those around him. Adventure and the Zambian outdoor environment will be a reoccurring theme throughout this DTS in its aim of teaching authentic knowledge of him and making him known. Adventures, activities, and how they can be used to evangelize and disciple are included. If you enjoy the outdoors and want an adventure of faith like no other, then this DTS starting July 3rd, 2023 is for you. Contact us at ywammakushi@gmail.com. Adventure is waiting for you.
So the other missionary journey that touched a lot of nations, but we were more focused in Zimbabwe and serving missionaries in Zimbabwe. We launched a new team called Wyham Rehoboth in Bulawayo, led by two amazing ladies. The focus of this ministry is primarily healthcare in rural areas, and they are building a clinic. Also, one of the ladies is leading a movement of counsellors serving women who've been abused. So she herself came out of abuse, and when she got healed, when Jesus healed her, she caught the vision to share that healing with as many other women as possible. I'm going to hand over.
Thank you, Susie. Lovely. So yes, we believe that we're called to be a family in missions. Not that I'm the missionary or Susie's the missionary, but we are missionaries together. So that's why it's one of our values, and that's why we as a family are sharing today with you. And our theme, as we were looking at it, maybe there's going to be two themes, because I was feeling, you know, it's a dangerous, isn't it, having a Holy Spirit church? Because when you think you've made a good plan, then the Holy Spirit comes along and starts nudging you, doesn't he? Does that happen a lot to you when you show up here for a Sunday? It's one of the beautiful things about being in a church where the Holy Spirit is so free. The theme that we were looking at today, as we were looking at, we've been working with some people maybe 15 years in Africa, and it's wonderful, isn't it, when you see where people have come from and where they've moved over 15 years. And we were seeing kind of when people arrived with one name, believing one thing about themselves, and how how they've taken hold of their identity in God and they've been given that new name, and that's brought new breakthrough in their lives. So that's kind of the theme we were looking at today, was how God gives you a new name and how he's given a new name to lots of these young people that we work with in Africa. So I think Ben was actually going to come and look at a scripture on this theme. We were looking at Isaiah 62 because it really encapsulates this new name that God gives us. Ben, come and share the scripture with us, please, sir.
Okay. Hi. It's been lovely talking to you all and getting to know you again. Also being here where Nana and Granddad had their church. So can you turn with me to Isaiah 62, verse 1-5, or it's going to be up on screen. Okay. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet, till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication, all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord has bestowed. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will you be called deserted or your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah. For the Lord will delight in you and your land will be married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. I'd like to highlight some of the names that stuck out to me in this scripture while I was reading it. First, the old names. Desolate, deserted. Have you ever felt like that, alone and unfruitful in your life? Well, God's given you new names. Hephzibah. The Lord will take delight in you. That's amazing, isn't it? The Lord delights in you. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord delights in you? Okay, now turn to your other neighbor and say, the Lord delights in you.
The Lord
delights in you. Okay, now Beulah, married. God committed to you like a good and faithful marriage. That's powerful. A royal diadem in the hand of your God. Imagine that, going from forgotten and abandoned and deserted to the very sign that he is king. Salvation like a blazing torch. I actually felt I should highlight this as well as another part of the scripture to you as a church. The part that I felt I should highlight was verse 2, the first part. The nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. I felt that as you put your trust in God, he's fighting for you. And you'll become like a blazing torch, standing upright and central and not hiding the fact that you are standing with God. As I was reading this, I remembered Matthew 5:15. People do not light a lamp and hide it under a bushel, but instead they put it on a stand so that it can shine out. I feel like this church is going to be a shining torch to the community. And over to you, Dad. No, not right now.
That word that you had as you were praying was this thing of vindication and shining like a mighty torch. Amen. Hallelujah. So that, thank you. I love when God speaks, isn't it? And so we receive that word for this church, that vindication as not as we fight for ourselves, but as we let God fight for us. Amen. As I was hearing that word that Ben brought, I thought there was another detail that I felt for that, which was this element of trusting that God is fighting on your behalf because we have let God be the one that fights for us. And I feel that there's quite a few people here in the church that have let go of fighting for yourself. You know, there's a place, isn't it, where you're always defending yourself or sticking up for your side of it and actually saying, it's okay, God's got my back. God's fighting for me. He knows who I am. He knows I know who he is. I know he's for me. And I'm trusting God that he will be my vindication. Amen. That my salvation will shine out. Hallelujah. I think it's one of the ways the enemy attacks us sometimes, isn't it? Is the enemy tries to say, you need to defend yourself, otherwise people will think something bad about you. Yeah? There's something, the way that the enemy needles us there. And he says, oh, you've got to defend yourself, otherwise people are going to think something bad about you. And you actually say, no, God knows who I am. I don't have to defend myself. God knows who I am, so I'm going to trust in him. And I've been challenged by that again and again, is that I don't leave space for God to fight for me because I'm too busy fighting for myself. But actually, as I was praying for this church, I felt that there's some of you that have really lived a lifestyle of letting God fight for you rather than fighting for yourself. You say, I'm not going to defend myself. God is the defense of my life. He is my vindication, and he is the one that speaks who I am. Amen. So let's go on to the next slide. I loved my beloved son getting to share. It's lovely, isn't it? Behold my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Thank you for sharing, Ben. Here's another one of my sons, an African son. I think we got to work together maybe 17 years ago. This guy is Charles Wilson, and I met him in an orphanage, or we did, Susie and I. And now, I was thinking about what God's done with him. He's just come back, actually, from a Muslim area where he's gathering together. We've been planting churches there, some thousands of churches, and he was gathering the leaders of those churches together in this Muslim area to train them. And wherever he goes, him and his wife, there's just this revival fire that moves through Charles and Lydia. And I was thinking about it. God's moved him from that place of being an orphan. Now he's a revival bringer. But I was thinking about that again, and it's not that he's a revival bringer, because that isn't the name, is it? That's not the name that God gives us. He doesn't call us something to do with what we do. Our name starts in who we are, isn't it? So he doesn't move from being an orphan to being a revival bringer. He moves from being an orphan to being a son. And not just a son, a chosen son. Or as Ben was sharing about being a Biola, wasn't it? He's committed to you. A chosen son or a chosen bride, the one that God chooses. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God, being in a maturer group of people, we're happier to talk about the sons of God and the bride of Christ. And all of us have walked long enough with the Lord that we know that we're both. Amen? I mean, so many churches and places, when you speak about things like being the bride of Christ and being the sons of God, people look at you and think that you're getting into some kind of new talking about genders or something. And I'm saying, no. It's just we move in authority, isn't it? We move in authority because God has chosen us. And we're the ones that inherit. All of us are the sons of God. And all of us are the chosen bride of Christ. So, this orphan finds his identity. He becomes a chosen son. Amen. A beloved bride. And out of that sonship flows revival fire. Amen. I love seeing the power of God resting on his life. But you know, that power and that identity comes from the place of encounter. I'm actually wanting Beth, can I get you up? I'm going to grab your sheet. Beth's got a great testimony, a story about this, about the way that encountering God changes the name that you call yourself. Can you come and share, beautiful? Behold my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to her.
Hello. Hi. I'm going to tell you a testimony. I'm going to tell you a testimony So when I was younger, I was always talking about, like, telling my parents, I keep on asking God to meet with me, but he doesn't. And if Dad would ask for a picture, a word, a verse, I just say, God doesn't say anything to me. He doesn't tell anything. He doesn't meet with me. And I'd practically given myself a name. I don't meet with God. I don't see God. I don't feel God. And I was always asking God to meet with me. And then he did. So I'm going to tell you one of the recent times where God has really met with me. My mom and dad were teaching on the Holy Spirit in YWAM Musenberg Base, and Dad invited me to come along. I walked in, I was nervous. He invited me he introduced me to his friend that was helping to teach on the DTS, and he prayed for me to meet with the Holy Spirit. Went, sat on the carpet, looked around, people laughing, piling on top of each other, just really drunk in the Holy Spirit. So I kind of walked towards a pile of ladies, and one of them touched me, and I just fell down and started to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. I'd put my hands up and shout, and I'd pray for people more, Lord, and it was just so fun. And just a couple people started to pray for this one lady. She started to cry, and everyone started to pray for her, and I was still going crazy at the same time, so I guess I was just going still drunk. And I'm guessing because my hair is red and I was really meeting with the Holy Spirit, they call me the burning bush. And the rest of the day, I was all giggly, and all Dad would need to say was, more, Lord. And I'd break out in laughter again, keep laughing. And ever since then, life has felt a bit plain, boring, even useless, unless God is involved and the Holy Spirit is in whatever I'm doing. My experience laughing on the floor, meeting with the Holy Spirit, being filled by him, was just the best thing I've ever done. And now I bring the Holy Spirit to my family. I lay hands on them, pray for them, write prophetic songs. I just really want other people to experience what I've experienced and just meet with the Holy Spirit again and just fill him, feel him always.
Thank you, my beloved daughter. Wonderful. So, the next slide. So this place of being given a new name comes from the place of encounter, doesn't it? And I think for me as well, hearing Beth's testimony, you know, we walk with the Holy Spirit for a while, and we love walking with the Holy Spirit. I love walking with the Holy Spirit. You love walking with the Holy Spirit. But then when you hear somebody else getting it, then it reminds you, doesn't it, what life is all about. As I heard Beth telling her story and saying, yeah, that is true. Lord, remind me of that truth. You know, it brings that truth back to my heart again, what life is all about, that my whole life changed when I met with God and then I met with the Spirit. Amen. So, identity, our new name of being chosen sons, comes from encounter. And yeah, there's another slide here. There's another one of our kids. This guy is called Ali Kadindi, and his wife Mpatso Kadindi. It was so embarrassing when Mpatso first came to join us, maybe 13, 14 years ago. Her name is spelt, Mpatso is PH, so it's Mfatso in English. So when I saw her name on the application form, I'm like, no, this is going to be so embarrassing having Mfatso, you know, coming and being on the school, being disciple. But then I discovered a phonetic language. It's not Mfatso, it's Mpatso. So I was relieved because, you know, to live together for years and years, calling, say, hey, Mfatso. I'm like, no. So it would have been anyway. Ali and Mpatso met each other. And, you know, Ali, when he came to be with us, He was our gardener. So he came to do the garden and cut the grass. But then God had a plan for him. God gave Ali a new name. Amen? And now Ali leads a base in Zomba, YWAM Zomba. They've got a special focus on helping prostitutes and youth. So they run a ministry going out and reaching out to prostitutes. We've just recently put a deposit. We raised £25,000 to put a deposit on a property where they house the youth training, and later they'll house ladies that are coming out of prostitution as well. So we're raising about another £50,000 over the next few years to pay off the rest of that property. But we're so proud of this young man that he moves from being... No, he's just been the national leader of YWAM in Malawi. So we've got about 10, 12 bases, and he was one of the national leaders. And so he moves from that place of being a gardener. Yeah? And there, weeding the beds, and God moves him and gives him a new name, a chosen son. And out of that sonship flows being, you know, a base leader, a national leader for our mission. And then in his relationship with him and Mpatso, coming and taking in those that people have labeled, you know, prostitutes, bad woman, you know, and inviting them in to receive a new name. It's such a joy to walk with these young people over so many years. Amen? And I think so much transformation doesn't happen quickly, does it? The transformation of God is a progressive journey that we go on. If we go on to the next slide, and that's what I was thinking about, is identity, our God-given name. We walk into identity through our transformation journey. And that's what I've seen with walking with these young men and women. I remember with Ali and Patso, we were part of their wedding as well, and we were actually part of their pre-wedding. Ali's happy for me to, and Patso happy for me to share this, that just before, some months or a year before they were going to get married, they came to me, or to us, and they said, oh, we got a little bit excited about being married, and we're now expecting a baby a bit early. Hallelujah. And... you know, that mistake that they made, you could see them start to wobble a bit, yeah? They'd received that new name, they were moving forwards in their calling, and now we said, well, you're going to have to talk to your church as well and your family, and this isn't something we can hide. It's going to become obvious. But you could see them move back from their new name as chosen sons into that place of they've made a mistake. We're the ones who've made a mistake, yeah? And that's part of the journey, isn't it? Is then you then need to step back into the, yeah, although I've made a mistake, the name is not to do with what I've done, it's to do with who I am. And they took a step forwards again as chosen sons and daughters. Amen? And now actually they've got a ministry. One of the things they do is they train young people for marriage. And they have families come to them that are struggling. And the area of brokenness has become an area of ministry. I love it when God does that, isn't it? He doesn't leave those mistakes. He uses them. And that new name means that the things we've walked through are often the areas that we minister to others. But it's not just... I mean, we're all going through our different journeys. I was seeing this process of walking from our old name into our new name. And I still feel like I'm doing it today. Sometimes that's through mistakes. I was recently finding it through, I went to, I'm going to think that's not the one for today. The one that I got hit with recently, last week in YWAM, we had 11 of our leaders in Africa died in a car accident. One of our buses got hit by a truck that had lost its brakes. So we've lost a few national leaders, a few area leaders, some base leaders. So 11 dead, 2 more critical, another 6 in hospital at the moment. So it's the biggest accident that YWAM's had in 60 years. So it's a real tragedy for us. And, you know, that's part of the journey as well, isn't it? Our journey of transformation comes with mistakes and comes with tragedies. And... maybe since we've been together 2 years ago, I think we've had some precious saints here go to be with the Lord as well. And although we know exactly where they are, We know that they're with Jesus. We know that he has them. We know that they're in a better place, that they're worshipping. It's still tragic, isn't it? And it touches our hearts. And the thing I was looking at, as I was being touched by this tragedy, the scripture that I reached for was this one. I reached for Ephesians 1:13. And it says this. Ephesians 1:13 and 14 says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of God." We were sealed by the promised Holy Spirit. When I heard that my friends and people that I've worked with and we lead Africa with, that they had passed away, I felt shaken. Yeah? I felt wobbly. I felt shocked. And so I reached for my guarantee. Yeah? I reached for my guarantee. Because when things go wrong, you don't need a guarantee, do you, when everything's going right? Who here has ever bought a washing machine? Yeah? When you buy a washing machine, you go to the shop and you say, "Is there a guarantee on this washing machine?" Amen? And they say, "Yes, there's a 3-year guarantee. And if you want to pay more money, there's a 3-year guarantee on the washing machine." You say, "Hallelujah." You get your receipt and you staple the receipt to the guarantee, don't you? Am I the only one that does that? Yeah, you staple the receipt to the guarantee and then you put it in the manual drawer with all the other guarantees and receipts and you forget about it until the washing machine comes up with an error sign, E4. You look at it, think, E4. Then you think, "I wonder if that guarantee is still active for this washing machine." Amen? Normally, the washing machine breaks just like a week after the guarantee's over. Isn't that? Is that you as well? So you go to your drawer and you grab the guarantee. Why do you grab the guarantee? You grab the guarantee because there's a problem. There's a shaking, isn't there? When the error shows up on the washing machine, you want to make sure that your guarantee is still active. So that's what I did. In that moment when I felt that shaking, my friends weren't safe. You know, death has touched my life. I feel myself walking through the valley of the shadow of death and those that have passed away. I reach for my guarantee. And what's that guarantee? That guarantee is the same guarantee that Beth was talking about. The power of the Holy Spirit in her. Amen? The same guarantee that Ben was talking about. I've been chosen. He likes me. But that deposit of the Holy Spirit, because I know that God's in me and I can feel him in me, and God in me says, "You're mine forever." God in me says, "We are together. You are an eternal being. Your home is with me. I am yours." Amen. The deposit in me, what does it say? The scripture says, "Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of God." The spirit in me says, "I belong to God, and my inheritance of redemption is sure. I'm his." So when that shaking hits me, I step back into my identity, owned by God. He's put his spirit in me and I'm his. And that's part of the journey, isn't it? Part of the journey. Maybe when we're young, we go through the journey of making mistakes. Yeah, and we still make mistakes, but they don't shake us in the same way, do they? Well, I know with these young people that we're walking through, they make some silly mistakes. That's what it is to be young. Amen? Sometimes the early ones are just learning your identity. They have to learn their identity, and they still believe the things that they've been told that weren't true. And then you move out of that. I know who I am, but I still make mistakes. And then I make mistakes, or some of the mistakes I make are I take glory in myself. I do really well at something, and I think it was me that did it rather than God's. And I have to step back into having a humble attitude, not an inflated ego. Amen. And this next one, the disasters that touch our lives. For me, those disasters are part of the journey of drawing me into my identity as a chosen son, as a beloved one who has the deposit within me. The other one that I was thinking about that has been touching my life recently was just where some of my spiritual fathers fall. And it's felt like that's happened a little bit recently, is that people that I really looked up to in my faith, I found out had done silly things. They'd been unrighteous in their the way they lived their lives. And again, that shook me. Amen? But in the shaking, I then realized my eyes had been on man rather than on God. My eyes had been on man, that I've had good teaching from this teacher or that prophet. Amen? I've had good teaching from that man of God or that man of God. And then when I see them shake, I say, oh, let me put my faith in Jesus. I am a chosen son of God. I am the beloved of my King in heaven. And I shift my identity. I didn't realize I was taking identity from having done their Bible school, yeah? From having done their teaching modules. And when the shaking happened, I realized, oh, my identity, my name, I have a new name. I'm a son, and that name is an eternal name. Amen? It's not what teaching I've had, what school I've been on, what prophet I know, but that I know Jesus, and I'm close to him. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's move on to the next slide here. This is another friend of mine, Jimmy Ntwali. Jimmy Ntwali. Now, he's a refugee from Burundi, and he joined us in Blantyre maybe 10 years ago as a refugee, coming out of a war zone with his family being killed. And it's been wonderful, again, watching Jimmy move from that place of being refugee and moving into the place of being a chosen son. And Jimmy isn't just a chosen son. He leads what's called the Heroes Academy. These are all these young people. He trains them in soccer, and a load of them have actually gone on to play for national teams. So they've become professional soccer players. But he disciples them in faith, and now they're going on to play for national teams and win trophies. But he also disciples them so they grow up strong in their faith as well as strong in their sport. Another disaster that hit them, this little boy here, maybe about 6 months ago, their little three-year-old boy passed away. It was a heartbreaking season. It was actually 3 days after they had a new baby born. So again, seeing Jimmy walk through those tragedies. But as he takes his identity as a chosen son, I also see Jimmy as a son maker. Amen? That's something that's beautiful, isn't it? It's not just that we receive a new name, is that we have the ministry of reconciliation, that we give new names to others. And this Heroes Academy is, he's a hero maker. He takes in these young refugees and he trains them until they are confident that they are heroes and sons. And I love, that's one of our joys, is to train people that are called to be name givers. Amen? King makers. Yeah? Those ones that go out and give people their royal identity, their sonship identity. Because the reality is, isn't it, is that whenever we have a new name leads to new manifestation. When Jesus said, you are Simon, but I'm going to call you Peter, because I'm going to build a church, that led to a manifestation of him being part of leading the church. Amen? When we saw God meet with Jacob and say, Jacob, now you're going to be called Israel, the name Israel now meant that he birthed a nation. Amen? So when God gives us a new name, that new name leads to a manifestation of that name. Hallelujah? And so this is really the joy of our lives, is to walk with people as they move into this calling of being name givers or son makers. I'd like to share that we've got another project that we're just starting, and there's a video next, A new name brings new life to others. Amen. So this is a new one that we're doing. At the back, we've got some like necklaces and things. I think you guys have already been so generous to us. I'm sure some of that will go to this as well. But we've got some necklaces and bracelets and things. So we're building a refuge house for girls, which is what this is about. So we've got a video here about a new project that we're just launching at the moment.
My name is Deria Chirwa. I'm a missionary in Malawi, in the central region of Malawi. Our focus in Waiwa Mulilongwe is safe house. This passion grew in me when I was doing my primary school. I was walking long distance because we were coming from poor family. So our passion is to help those that are vulnerable, those that their parents, some of them, their parents, they do run away from them. One girl, her parents just left in the morning, like we are going for peace work, we'll meet in the evening. And that's how the parents disappeared.
Siku ndazuka mama kunizivira kusukulu manga nanduza kuti ndivira kuganyu ndada nyamukola ndovira kuganyu ja ine nanyamuka sima kuvira kusukulu ndani ndabuya kusukulu janna zabeze wasana rasana bwere ndene nuka ka madikira mpaka mazuna zabeze kuti sana fikebe ndene nanga fotokozera gogo sana nakukhala ine jose kena kubasa nagona mawasona zazuka nyimodzi mudzivira kusukulu bweze kuti sana bwere.
And then when we heard about that, we heard after a month, and then we visited her, we visited where she was staying. It was something that you say a girl cannot live there, not just a girl, but a human being cannot live there, because it was a muddy house, a grass house, it didn't have a door, but a girl was living in that house, and then she was walking long distance. She didn't have even food to feed herself, even soap to wash her clothes. So she was living in that difficult life. And then we had to go rescue her, bring her into the house so that we can look after her, so that she's able to go to school and be able to study well. And she's happy because of what we have done. And there's a lot of them like those ones that are vulnerable in our community.
Men makalira mukuno kuno men makalira kunyumba kunzosiana kwa before yoti kuno kamapita school mabeseka ndaja kabuya sema zabeza ya kuja.
Our hearts are crying out to say we want to help them. We want to come help them. We want to come rescue them. We want to give them the safe house so that they know that they are safe and that they know they have the guardians, because sometimes their guardians or their parents, they run away from them. Sometimes they even chase them away. Sometimes even they ask them to start prostitution because of the poverty level that is in our area. So we want to be the feet of Jesus Christ. We want to be there to help them, to bring them into the house.
Currently we are renting a house whereby the owner is shortly coming to occupy that house, and will not have a place to keep these girls. And God has provided us with a land that can accommodate two houses for these girls. And we would ask you to partner with us to provide a safe house or safe houses for these girls, so that we can transform their lives into productive citizens in this country. We have managed to build a house at a certain level where we haven't finished yet. And we are also asking you to partner with us to finish up this house.
Hallelujah. And we know that those girls that are being taken in are just at the beginning of their journey, that we'll look back 10, 15 years and see that they receive a new name. Amen? And we'll 10, 15 years' time, there'll be their stories, won't there, about how God met with them and now how they've become a light in the nations. So at the back, we've got some cards as well. We're really bad at sending emails out, so we do manage to send out some WhatsApps. So I know maybe you're supposed to send newsletters. We're really bad at doing it. But if you've got a mobile phone and you've got WhatsApp on the phone, we do send out quite, like every couple of weeks or every month, we send out a little paragraph and a photograph. That's what we're better at doing. We don't really manage newsletters very well. Sorry about that. I know proper missionaries manage to send out good newsletters, but we don't manage very well. But we do love Jesus and we love you. And we love the way that you continue to stand with us. So all of this work is possible because, again, people partner with us and stand with us, and we can't do it alone. Amen? So thank you so much for standing together with us.